Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God, welcome to another edition of the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh, and welcome to the program.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Let's talk about some of the jurisprudential laws of miscellaneous nature or somehow related to medical cases and situations based on the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei in this episode. Well, what is required of a woman in labor, Sheikh Javid? And what is required of the female nursing staff insofar as the uncovering of and looking at the genitals of the woman in labor are concerned?
Well, it is obviously not permissible for the nurses to deliberately look at the private parts of a woman in labor unless it becomes extremely necessary. But if they can use, let's say, a mirror or something to just carry out their duties, they should do so. In the event that it is not possible to use any other thing or any, for example, mirror or something, then they can look at the private part whenever necessary. And the same goes for the doctor, who should avoid looking at the body of the patient or touching it unless it is necessary. So necessity is makes everything permissible.
Mm-hmm.
And as for the woman, you know, she should do her best to cover herself. She should wear proper clothing, you know. If she is aware, if she is in her senses, if she is conscious, and she must do whatever she can to cover herself properly, and also she can ask her close relatives, like her mother, to do the same for her when she is not probably in her senses. For example, if she is unconscious, so she is not. She cannot do anything,
mm-hmm.
but her close relatives or even the female staff can cover her body and private parts properly.
I see. Well, in the course of the study of or training in medicine, Sheikh Javid, they use plastic models configuring the human reproductive system. What's the rule in the matter of handling these models and looking at them?
Well, artificial organs are artificial, and of course, genitals do not have the same ruling as the real ones.
Mm.
When this is the case, then of course there is no objection to looking at these, you see, fake organs, artificial organs, and handling them, unless of course a questionable intent is involved. Or maybe these genitals are cause some kind of, let's say, excitement or something which might lead to a kind of mischief. In that case, it's not permissible to handle those things. And if they usually entail arousing one's sexual desire, then they cannot use them unless they are necessary to use.
I see. Thank you very much, Sheikh Javid. Let's take a break and then we'll be back and continue our program, Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio. Don't go away.
Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina wa Nabiyina Muhammadin wa Ali.
Welcome back to the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. We are talking about some of the jurisprudential laws of somehow miscellaneous nature, but somehow related to medical issues and situations based on the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. Well, Sheikh Javid, as a doctor, somebody asked, my research within the Western scientific circles aims at relieving pain by way of music, touching, dancing, meditation, and electric shocks. Medical opinions points to the fact that the research in these types of therapy has proved fruitful. Is it permissible, Sheikh Chobi, to embark on the same road?
Well, because he is a researcher, His Eminence is of the view that there is no Shari impediment to investigating such things, to see how effective it is in curing or treating the illnesses. Whatever the illnesses might be, could be mental or physical, and there is no impediment, there is no problem in such a research or such an investigation conducted by such an individual. That is provided that it does not lead to getting entangled in practices which are haram. If they, let's say, they do get him entangled in such things which are essentially forbidden, then it's not permissible.
I see.
As long as he is confident that he will not fall into a sin, there's no objection to him.
Is it permissible for a female nurse to look at a woman's genitals, let's say, if they study, their study requires it?
Well, His Eminence Grand Ayatollah Khamenei is of the view that if the treatment of diseases or saving a respectful life depends on taking a lesson which includes looking at the private parts of others, there's no problem in doing so, because getting and learning and doing research and also learning how to cure a disease concerning the genital areas, of course, which sometimes leads to disease, to death and fatality.
Yes, then, it's part of the medical courses.
Yeah, of course. So there's no problem in doing so.
I see. Thank you very much, Javid. Let's take another break and then we'll be back and continue our program, Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio. Stay tuned.
The followers of Ayatollah Khomeini can refer to leader.ir/en. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khamenei's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
Allah, ya Allah, guide me all the way to your Jannah, ya Allah, oh Allah. Don't let me go astray, cause I need you.
Welcome back to the program, Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio, with me, Mohammed Jad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Chobi, our guest speaker. We are still talking about some of the miscellaneous laws according to fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei with Sheikh Chobi. Sheikh Chobi, regarding prayer, or during prayers, actually, is it permissible because to eat or drink or swallow something like the crumbs or the leftover of the food in the mouth? Because some people, they come straight from the food or the tablecloth to the praying position, and then when they want to offer the prayers, still some of their crumbs of, for example, the bread is in their mouth. So what can they do? Can they swallow it?
Well, there's no doubt that eating and drinking while praying invalidates the prayer. And it doesn't make any difference whether there is little food in your mouth or a lot of food. If something is considered to be an act of swallowing, or eating or drinking,
yes,
then that is considered to be an act of invalidating the prayer. So it's not permissible to swallow the food particles left in your mouth.
Right.
And the food might be gathered in a corner of your mouth or maybe stuck to your teeth or gums. So it's not permissible to swallow it. But of course, if someone eats or drinks something by mistake or because of forgetfulness, okay?
Yes.
So that doesn't make your prayer void. And as long as it does not disturb the state of prayer, because you should have a state of prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And if that state of praying is not disturbed, then the prayer will not be void, of course.
I see. Thank you very much for that answer. Again, I'm going to ask you something about the prayers, especially as far as the doubts are concerned. All right? If
sure.
During the prayer, one of the doubts that invalidates the prayer occurs to someone, to an individual who's offering the prayer, then should this individual abandon or stop the prayer immediately?
Well, according to His Eminence Grand Ayatollah Khamenei, he states clearly in his treatise or Ajwibatul Istifta'at that as a measure of precaution, he cannot, or the person cannot, leave the prayer immediately, but he must think for a while, so that the doubt, of course, probability of 50% is fixed, or maybe established in his mind, and if, of course, he doesn't become confident, nor is one-sided. So that means 50-50. If that is the case, then leaving the prayer is not a problem. He can stop leaving the prayer because he cannot make up his mind and he's not decided which way is more preferable.
Mm.
So in that case, when there is a 50-50 person doubt, and doubt is always means 50-50,
right.
Then, of course, in that case, there's no objection to leaving the prayer.
I see. And as the last question in this part, Sheikh, you know, we know that, you know, when some people die, their heirs usually hire someone to offer the missed prayers of that individual, that deceased person, right?
Yeah.
So I'm talking about that person who's hired actually to perform the prayers. Is it obligatory actually for this individual to perform all the parts, including the recommended parts? Or no, we can actually forget about like azan and iqama, which is the recommended part, for example, or the recommended part of the prayer, and suffice it to say or offer the obligatory parts instead only?
Well, that's a pretty good question because it's usually asked by people. The answer is that if no special condition has been placed for the prayer, the hired person only needs to perform obligatory parts of the prayer and not those recommended parts. Though it is better, it is always recommended mm-hmm. to perform the recommended parts as well.
Mm-hmm.
But if no condition is there,
yes.
or no condition has been placed by the person who hired this individual, then of course the hired person can suffice to the wajib parts only.
I see. Thank you very much, Sheikh.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to your own program, Islamic Laws, on IRIB English Radio. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
الظاهر والباطن لا إله إلا